Welcome to part 5 of a very special series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O'Phil. In our final presentation, let's consider the question, how much does it cost? Once again, frankly speaking, here is Pastor Richard O'Phil.
If there's one thing that can make all the difference in your life, it would be prayer. Now remember we said last night, most people pray all the time about one thing or another, but most of the time it's about, you know, help it not to rain and help me to get my boyfriend to love me and help me to get good grades and help me not to get caught in a radar trap and help me to get rich and be handsome, and, you know, that kind of prayer. If we would really get serious about praying about God really changing our lives, He really would. Really, when our lives get changed and get different, hey, everything changes. You may not have the problem that many of us have, but many of us pray too late. Let me explain to you, Pastor, what I mean by that, praying too late. Now, when you go to bed at night, or me, and you know, most of the stuff that now we talk about, Dita Poudipan, you know. Were you here last night? You know, Dita Poudipan, but most of the time, our prayers are, forgive me. Isn't that right? Forgive me for this, forgive me for that. I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry. Isn't that about the way it goes? Now, hey, God will forgive you for anything. You can't do something bad enough that He won't forgive you if you're sorry. He's in that business. He forgives. He'll clean up your life. He'll take a broken life and put it back together. But let me tell you what the real business is. I don't know if we Christians have caught on to it yet. But the real neat thing about being a Christian is not having to mess up. The scripture says in one place, now unto him who is able to, you remember the rest of it? Keep you from falling. Hey, listen, that's the name of the game. Now, we should pray before we go to bed at night. But we would save ourselves gobs of trouble if we would pray when we got up in the morning. If in the morning you got up and the first thing you did before you went to the bathroom, even, just get right down on your knees and give your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give you my life today. Today, keep me from falling. Hey, that will just save all kinds of grief through the day. And then, now listen to me. Then when the temptation comes to you during the day, if you'll say a prayer that the Lord will deliver you from the temptation, He will. That's the best part. It's like driving a car. Hey, I've got an insurance policy. Last December, somebody crashed into the back of my car. I'm glad we had insurance policy to take care of that. But I don't think that was too neat, them crashing in the back of my car. I don't think it's too neat. I don't hear anybody bragging saying, hey, I wrecked my car today. That's not funny. But it's nice to have insurance to take care of it. But the guy that's really the neat guy is the guy that keeps his car neat. He doesn't crack up. He doesn't get tickets. So that's what the name of the game is in the Christian life. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. But I want to tell you what the trouble is. Well, I'll tell you what the trouble is in just a few minutes. That's what this next little talk's about. We lived here in Washington for 7 years. Over here in Adelphi, just off of Powder Mill Road on Floral Drive. And I had a neighbor over there. His name is Jim. And over in that part of town, the houses all look about the same. And so Jim and I were really into repair your house. And Jim and I, we like to fix our houses up and to try to improve them and make them look, you know, neat and everything. And so we got to be... Now, Jim was a Catholic. He had become a Catholic because he married his wife who was a Catholic. He had been a Baptist. But we got to be kind of close. And And so we moved to Florida, and he called me up after we had lived there for a little while, and he said, Dick, he said, you know what I think I'm going to do? He said, I think I'm going to mortgage my house. Get a second mortgage. Are you into that kind of, you know what that's about? I'm going to get a second mortgage on my house and buy some land down in Virginia and build me a country house. Now let me tell you what second mortgage is about. You know, you borrow from the bank to buy your house. Then if in the meantime, while you live in your house, the price continues to increase, you can go back to the bank and they give you more money. Because the house is worth more. They call that the second mortgage. So he had lived in his house for a few years and his house had increased in price. He thought, I can get some more money out of it. So what I'll do is I'll take that new money that I get from my house, I'll take it down to Virginia and build me a summer house. That way I have two houses. That way he has a house in Adelphi and he has a house in Virginia. Two houses. He can have it both ways. You know how the mortgage thing works, don't you? You pay it off by the month over 30 years, or you can pay it for 15 years, or the interest rates, and there are all kinds of mortgages, fixed rate mortgages. And well, anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is because in the book of Matthew, there's two teeny-weeny parables about a couple of businessmen made some business deals, and I'll just read them to you here because they made me think of mortgages when I read them. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he has and buys the field. And again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man in goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You say, Pastor O'Phil, why are you reading these stories? Because I don't think these stories were good business deals. Now that first story, the guy had found a treasure in a field, and he wanted the treasure out. So it said he went back, he sold all he had, he bought the field. He didn't want that field. What did he want? He wants a treasure. So it seems to me like what he should have done is gone to the bank and borrowed money to buy the field. You know, you're with me. Borrow money, buy the field, take the treasure out, sell the field back, pay off the treasure. You win every way. The same way with the guy with the pearl. You don't make money with spending your own money. You make money with other people's money. That's why they say. So when I looked at this story in the Bible, I said, that's funny. That doesn't sound like too good a business deal to me. Because you see, Jim, he was going to do a real business deal. He was going to borrow money, and by having one house, he was going to get another one. Out of the same deal, he gets two houses. He has it both ways. And I got thinking about this. I thought, well, apparently then, when it comes to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, there must be something different. You know what I'm leading up to? You can't have it both ways. See, Jim is going to have a house where? Here and there. Jesus is telling a story, and he says these guys that wanted that treasure, did they mortgage? They couldn't. They had to do what? What they had to do? Sell out. Because they couldn't have one or the other. They couldn't have what they had and this. They had to get rid of one, choose what they were going to be. And I got to thinking to myself, I thought, aha, so that's the way it is. You see what I'm leading up to? See, because here you and I, where do we live? We live here in this world. So we're going to have to make choices, see? We're making choices all the time and we're saying, am I going to really get my roots down here and become really a worldly person? Or am I going to decide that I want to really be Jesus' person and be with Him and be with Him in heaven someday? And I want to tell you, most of us haven't made up our minds yet, really. Now, you'd say, what do you mean I haven't made up my mind? I'm here, ain't I? I keep Saturday, don't I? Oh, that's all right. But I don't know that just because we keep Sabbath means we've made up our minds yet. Because didn't the Jews keep Sabbath? And what did they do to Jesus? They killed him. But you might say, well, Pastor O'Phil, no, I've really made up my mind. I'm on God's side. I drink liquor. The Muslims don't drink. Did you ever meet any Muslims? Muhammad, they don't drink liquor either. They're not on the side of Jesus, are they? So that's not what it is. You'd say, well, hey, I keep Sabbath, I don't drink liquor, and I'm a vegetarian. I've gone all the way. Do you ever meet any Hindus? They don't eat meat either. And they worship, you know, remember from last night? They worship you-know-who. So separation from the world, making your mind up to want the things of heaven is more than just keeping Sabbath or not drinking beer or being a vegetarian. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not in meat or drink, but in love and in joy and in peace. Now the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. I don't mean to bog you down or get you nervous here with all these some texts that I do here at the very first. But the Bible talks in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh. And it says, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, riot, and goes on and on with all these terrible things it names. And you could say, Pastor Ophiel, don't insult me. Because not only do I not drink booze, or I am a vegetarian, I go to church on Saturday, I don't do any of those things that you just named. Can't you see? I'm decided. I've made my decision. Hang on. I got to ask you one other little question before we go on. Jesus said, and you may think it's not fair, but Jesus said we can be guilty of murdering somebody just by in our heads. Did you read that? If you hate somebody, you're wishing they were dead. He says you can be guilty of fornication just by watching somebody go by and... So what does that mean? That means that, hey, you know, you and I may say, hey, I'm not into that stuff. But at the same in our heads, we can be very involved. Now, I don't know whether to go on with the rest of what I'm going to say or not. I'm going to just do a little check here because I would hate if you would start throwing kimchi at me. Because that could get pretty messy, couldn't it? Do you promise not to throw anything at me with what I say next? Because you don't know what I'm going to say. Listen to me. Remember what I just said. We who are Christians, particularly Adventists, we like to pride ourselves by saying, I'm not into that stuff. But I got to thinking about it, and I'm going to use some big words now, I think you'll know what they are. I got to thinking about it, and I thought to myself, nothing symbolizes, you know that word, our philosophic conformity with the world, so far, like does our watching TV. Now, maybe even some people who are here used to be into that bad stuff. You used to play the devil's game. But when you stop playing the devil's game, instead of getting out of the stadium, you went up into the bleachers to watch them play. Do you realize that when we watch TV, for example, what we're watching them do? We're watching them commit adultery. Hey, by the way, have you ever heard of a peeping Tom? You know what peeping Tom is? Do you guys know what a peeping Tom is? You know that word? A peeping Tom is a weirdo around in the communities looking in people's windows trying to... That's a peeping Tom, trying to catch them with their private lives. That's a peeping Tom. Hey, you tell me something. If we sat down and watched these dirty movies and all this stuff on television, tell me who's the peeping Tom. You ever think of it that way? So we sat down, see, No, we wouldn't do that stuff. No way. But we sure get our jollies, our big kicks out of watching them bang head, lie, cheat, kill, commit adultery, and steal. When I was about 18 years old, I became aware that I'm allergic to cats. Do you know what allergy is? You never known anybody that had allergies? Fortunately, I got over that. But I still must have certain allergies. And one allergy that I have once in a while, and it used to do it a lot more than it does now. Hey, forgive me, guys, for talking to you this way, because this gets kind of... that when I sit down to eat sometimes, my nose runs. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Can you imagine? See, so I sit down to eat, I start eating food, and my allergy. Now, I have four children. Two of them were here today. One of them is here now, and daughter-in-law. And I have one boy still at home. His name is Dan. And so I can remember we would sit down there at the table, and we'd start to eat. And my allergy would come. You know what I mean when I say that, don't you? And so what am I going to do? What would you do? I'd take out my handkerchief. And you know what Dan says? You know what Dan says when I do that? I take out my handkerchief, I go like this. Dan says, "Oh, yuck." You know that word? He says, "Oh, yuck." And then you know what he says? He says, "That grosses me out." You ever heard that word? He says, "Oh, yuck, that gross." Now, that's not enough. That's not all he does. He would then take his plate, leave the table, and go to the family room to eat. I'd say, "Come back!" He says, "I can't. I'm grossed out." Now, what are you going to do? I couldn't help it. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, "I'm sure glad you're telling me this, because I'm never going to invite you over to my house." Now, back when I was a kid, they had somebody that set the manners, you know, the etiquette, and her name was Emily Post. I guess she died. But there's a lady now who does etiquette for our culture, and her name is Miss Manners. And I read somewhere, because somebody wrote in and said to Miss Manners, "What do you do if you need to blow your nose at the table?" And you know what she said you do? She said you do this. But what was I going to do? Here I have the allergies. I got my boy Dan. We sat down to eat. Betty, me, and Dan. Yuck. That grosses me out. "Come back, come back!" "I can't. I'm grossed out." So that's the way it was going. Well, one day, now you're going to think to yourself, "Hey, what kind of a guy are you? Do you put your elbows on the table too and talk with your mouth full?" And no, I'm sincere. I want to follow the right etiquette. I'm not real gross like I sound. But one day, fortunately, we were there at the table and we had started to eat. And you know what happened? And I, fortunately, Dan, though he was said yuck, I lucked out. He didn't leave. He stayed. And I thought, "I'm going to take advantage of this." So in the next instant, before he could leave, I started making up a story, a far-out story, just making it up, of an affair, a fornication thing. And I started like this. I said, "Hey, did you hear about what happened to Mrs. So-and-so? How she ran off with so-and-so?" And I just got the story started, you know. And my wife, she's there eating. And when I start this story, she says, "Huh?" And Dan, he's there eating like that. And he says, "How's that?" I didn't go on with the story. I got their attention, though. Hey, they were interested. They wanted to hear about this affair. Then I said, "I want you to tell me something." Tell me which is worse. Blowing your nose at the table or fornication? You see what I'm trying to say? Oh, sure, don't put your elbows on the table, but it's all right to tell dirty jokes. You see, oh, by all means, don't chew with your mouth full, but it's all right to sit there at the table and criticize people and you know what I'm saying? That's all right. That's great. I like that. You see where I'm coming from? Do you see what's happened to us? That was like in that last sermon. You see what Jesus is saying? Hey, he says it's in the head where your problem is. And can't you see what's happened to us? Hey, now we're God's children. We love Him. Can't you see what the devil's done to us? You see, when we stopped playing the devil's game, we should have gotten out of there. But no, oh, we wouldn't do what the world does, but we sure say, go at it, hey, go on, you know, just cheer them on. And as a result, we have become desensitized to sin, to what's right and wrong. Now, you may not agree with me. If you get mad at me for saying that, I don't care. You do what you want. I'm not even talking about television this afternoon so much. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about the fact that the devil has worked on us as Christians to the point where we now are having a hard time telling the difference between right and wrong. And it's because we've watched people sin for so long that we don't feel anything anymore. Oh yes, we get grossed out because somebody's nose is running. But the things that really matter don't bother us anymore. Do you know what? Do you know how they treat allergies, Pastor? You know how they treat allergies? If you go to one of these doctors, he takes a little bit of that stuff that you're allergic to and he shoots it under your skin. Just a little tiny bit. Your body hardly knows it's there, see? If it knew it was there, it would react. But it doesn't know it's there. It doesn't do anything. Slowly but surely, treatment after treatment, treatment after treatment, pretty soon, the body doesn't know it's there anymore. It doesn't react. And I think this is what's happened to us. You see, we have become so accustomed to sin, to watching sin, to actually, if you please, secretly enjoying it. Do you know what? Do you know how they treat allergies, Pastor? You know how they treat allergies? If you go to one of these doctors, he takes a little bit of that stuff that you're allergic to and he shoots it under your skin. Just a little tiny bit. Your body hardly knows it's there, see? If it knew it was there, it would react. But it doesn't know it's there. It doesn't do anything. Slowly but surely, treatment after treatment, treatment after treatment, pretty soon, the body doesn't know it's there anymore. It doesn't react. And I think this is what's happened to us. You see, we have become so accustomed to sin, to watching sin, to actually, if you please, secretly enjoying it. Watching people tell lies so much that we don't even know the truth anymore. And we start to tell lies. Watching people be unfaithful and immoral so much that you say, well, I didn't even know what was happening. We watch people fight and treat each other with such disdain that we scream at our own children, and as children are disrespectful to our parents. We don't know the difference. I didn't know that there was a text in Ephesians 5 verse 12 that says we ought not even speak of those things which they do in secret. Brothers and sisters, young people, as Christians, we do ourselves damage to watch evil, to think about evil, or to talk about it. What does it do? You'd say, well, I like that. That's okay, do it. But you're messing up our own lives, can't you see? We're getting so we can't tell the difference anymore. I remember one time we were having a church social down here in Virginia, and they were showing a Laurel, no, it wasn't Laurel and Hardy, it was an Abbott and Costello. You guys don't remember, maybe you've seen Abbott and Costello. This was a comedy group from way back, see. And believe it or not, this was a comedy. And in this comedy, somebody was knifed, comedy I said, was knifed in the back with a big knife. And I can remember there that night in the basement there in that church member's home that that knife came down in that person's back and everybody in there laughed. It was a comedy! Except for a 2-year-old baby. And when that knife came down in that person's back, the baby screamed. Do you see what I'm talking about? The baby, you see, hadn't been desensitized. The rest of us there, oh, how terrible, in the face of murder, we were laughing. It was funny to us. Can't you see what's happened to us? By beholding, we become changed. Because in beholding the things of the world, we have become changed into its likeness. I used to travel a lot. You may think it's fun to travel. It is a little bit, but not too much. Because when it comes time to go home at night, you don't go home. It's lonely. I used to stay in the motels a lot. Now, you know, somebody goes back to their own home, they're back to their own family with people that love them and everything, and you go back to the motel and you have supper, and what are you going to do before you go to bed? Who's going to keep you company? You know what I'm saying? What keeps you company? The TV keeps me company. What am I going to do after I eat? I can't go to bed at 6:30. So I can remember one particular night. They took me back and I had my little supper. I didn't have anything to do going to bed about 9:30. And so I turned on the TV. And I spent about 3 hours watching. I wasn't watching the box. I don't know what I was. I was just watching whatever came on. And then pretty soon I got up, got ready for bed, and knelt down by my bed, and started prayer. I got about halfway through, quit. I about gagged. I thought, I can't go on with this. You know why I couldn't go on with my prayer? Because I heard myself, what I was saying. It didn't make sense. Let me tell you what I was saying. I thank the Lord for being with me through the day. You know how you do. May you safe and bless the missionaries and call porters and this and this. And then I came to that part. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. So far, so good. And then I prayed that He would help me to be like Jesus. And that's when I stopped. I couldn't go on. I said, I can't do this. I can't do this with a straight face. Because here for the last 3 hours, what am I doing? I'm praying that I'll be like Jesus, and Jesus is loving, and I'm watching for 3 hours, watching them bang heads, fight, poke out each other's eyes, blow out each other's brains, and all that stuff. I'm praying that He'll help me to be like Jesus, to be pure, and here I'm watching them run off with each other's wives, and I'm asking Him to help me to be like Jesus, to be honest, and here I'm watching them steal and rob banks. And you see, don't you see what I'm saying? It doesn't go together. You can't have it both ways. And so I just stopped my prayer and I said, I don't know what I want. And then I decided, I've got to make up my mind. Do I really mean it? That I want to be like Jesus and I want to have the Holy Spirit in my heart? Or do I want the worldly stuff? I can't have both. And I decided that I wanted to have Jesus in my heart. Now, you're going to think, I'm not going to say, hey, go throw out your TV. And you know, if you went home tonight and threw your TV out, you'd be mad by Wednesday. You know, people do that. They burn up all their dirty books and then they have to go buy new ones. Now, don't do that. But I want to tell you this. You know, little children, if you fix a meal for your little children, for example, and you fix everything nice, and you fix a dessert, and your little girl comes running in and she says, Mommy, can I have some cake? If you feed her the cake first, forget the rice. Isn't that right? If you feed her the cake first, forget the rice. She says, I'm not hungry, Mommy. What do you mean you're not hungry? Yeah, I'm just not hungry. I don't... But you see what I'm trying to say? What we have done, and even me, and I'm a minister, I want to tell you that all of us have a spiritual hunger. You think some of us are religious and others aren't? No, it isn't that way. It's just that some of us are eating the cake and wondering why we're not hungry. Because I can tell you this, that if you're watching the world, you don't have to be doing it. You just be enjoying it, watching the world do its thing. And hey, I can remember when I was doing that, I would try to read the Bible. I put myself to sleep. Did you ever say, I'm going to read the Bible? Say, I'm going to start reading the Bible for a whole... You know, and pretty soon. Or you say, I think I'm going to pray more. I want to tell you this, that for most of us, the reason that we're not able to read the Scripture and that we're not able to pray is because our bellies are full of the things of this world. And this is why Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, the love of the Father, not him. And if you're having trouble in your Christian life, it's because of one reason. And that's why many of us Christians, the first thing we need to do probably, this is gross, is get rid of that. We can ask Jesus to come into our hearts, but the fact of the matter is, they're already occupied. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And he that would be a friend of the world is God's enemy. The last thing that I want to be is God's enemy. And I think, I'm sure that all of us are the same way. See, we've been tricked. And really deep in our heart, we would like to have it both ways, but we can't. So our Christian life is like this. We say, what's wrong with me? This doesn't work. I'll tell you why it's not working. Because we haven't made up our mind. If you and I today will make up our mind to be true, to hate the world, to hate what Jesus hates, and give our lives completely to Him, you'll see the change that'll come into your life. Now you might not have any more fun. You know what we were talking about this morning? But you'll have happiness. And you'll have joy. And you'll have peace and contentment. And you told me this morning you'd rather have that anyway. I'd like to ask you this afternoon, I don't want to embarrass you. To look into your heart and just ask yourself the question, have I really decided? Yes, 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 but I mean really decided. Remember, you can't have it both ways. We can't be going to say, hey, I'm going to have a good time here, and when I get up there, I'm going to enjoy myself thoroughly. Jesus says, you can't have it both ways. You say, I'm not doing any sin at all. I can't think of anything wrong I'm doing. Yeah, but you're sure getting kicks out of watching them do it. The way you talk, the music you listen to, the stuff you read, the watching all this stuff. Hey, this is getting into your head. By beholding, we become changed. You don't have to rob a bank to be in the bank robbery. You don't have to be sleeping around to be in sleeping around. I think the problem with the church today, with us Christians, we really haven't made up our mind. Oh, I want to tell you, please do today. Please do today. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the glory of His presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Father, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Hey. We won't meet anymore, probably. You didn't know me before, I didn't know you, and our lives have just crossed this weekend. But let's don't waste our time, the time that we've spent together. I've decided in my heart that I don't care what it costs me. I've given my life to Jesus and I'll serve Him until the bitter end, if that's what it takes. He died for me. I'll die for Him. He that's faithful unto death, He'll give us a crown of life. We haven't lost anything. I want to invite you this afternoon. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And hey, if you're not into this, just hang on. We'll soon be done. But if you'd like to say, hey, Dick, I'm serious. I recognize that I've been trying to walk on both sides of this fence. It's been messing me up. I've been wondering why I was crippled. Because I've had one foot in heaven and one foot in the earth, and I'm ready to walk now as Jesus' person. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes in my life, God helping me to pull that off. I'd like to invite you to come here with me. And we'll pray about it. We'll just make a kind of a big pack here and just kneel close together and we'll just pray about it. Because that's the only way we're going to pull it off. See, we don't need so much. See, I'm already a saint on the outside. My problem is I want Jesus to make me a saint on the inside. You can't do that yourself. You can't change the way you feel, but Jesus can change the way you feel. And maybe you know you don't feel good about Jesus today, but you wish you felt different. You wish you did. Then come down here with us. And just be praying silently, God, change the way I feel. I want to love You. I want to be all on Your side. I want You to help me to throw out of my life that which is filling my belly and messing me up. Whoever feels that way with me, come on down, let's pray. Pack in, spread out here. Let's have room for lots of people. Pack in, let's pack in tight. Come on in, come up front. Come in more. Come in more. Come in more. Now, if you don't feel like coming forward today, don't worry. The Lord, He isn't going to leave you. But don't put it off too much longer. Just pray right where you're at. If you didn't come forward today, pray right where you're at about it. Come on forward and let's kneel down before God. And I'm just going to pause for just a few minutes because everybody has his own problems, doesn't he? And won't you just during these few minutes while we're just quiet, you talk to God about what's just between, not between you and me, but between you and Him. Heavenly Father, oh Jesus, look down on all of us. The ones of us who are here and the ones of us who are there, Lord, we're all the same. We all need You real bad. Oh Father, the devil has been around for so long. And he's walking all over us and Lord, he's trying to pull us away from You. Don't let him do it. Lord, we pray that right now that You'll just send all kinds of angels, and even though we can't see them, we know they're here. And then, Father, in that mysterious way that we don't understand, whatever it means, send the Holy Spirit into our own hearts. And Father, for those who are here to rededicate their lives, oh Lord, give them special grace and strength if they're praying for. Lord, if there are those who are here who say, oh, I've been trying to have it both ways, I've been trying to walk on, and they're here today to say, hey, Lord, I'm on your side now. Keep me from falling. And then, Lord, there's others that have come and they say, oh God, I'm confused. I don't know how I feel, but I want to feel like I love you. I want you in my heart, Lord, for those. And oh Lord, those who stayed back and they just, it's just like they're glued in their place. Lord, be close to them. Oh Jesus. Keep us from falling. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Wash us and make us white. Bless this church. Lord, bless our parents, our mothers and fathers, and our grandmas and our grandpas, our grandchildren. May we not criticize each other and be after each other. May we love one another. We thank thee in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.